Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Lawrence, I had an emotional sports sojourn in the midst of the vacation that I need to discuss with you. We spent 4 hours in Cooperstown, New York. My wife, Christine, and I at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
She loves baseball.
I love that.
She's taking me to Cooperstown on Sunday. She blew off the Tonys with Rosie.
This one blew off the Tonys.
Blew off the Tonys.
Take me to
Cooperstown.
You know what? It's not like being with a guy. It's like being with a great guy. Who happens to have a vagina and knows the statistics of what Roy White hit in 1971.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I had forgotten about the sentence that they added to Jackie Robinson's plaque in 2008. That they added to it the sentence about how he... Damn it, I pulled
it up. So you forgot it again?
No, I pulled it up and then I had it and I... Jackie Robinson.
Dombrowski, blah, blah, blah.
Hold on, talk amongst yourselves.
It's a newer type of situation.
You know, like, we have to end the show.
Yeah, it's time to end the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we had a good time.
That's a wrap.
It sounds great.
White people used to be cool in America. Long time ago, dude. The height of white people being cool was us going, we're like, man. That was as cool as we got. We're like, man, see, ha-ha, man. And then the day white people stopped being cool was Jackie Robinson's first game. You can look it up, dude. You can find it. You can find the radio call from that game online. You can hear the exact moment white people stopped being cool. Jackie came up to the plate. You can hear the announcers like, man. Coming up to the plate is Young Codboy from Brooklyn. No way he can hit Curly's pitch. Here comes the pitch. Home run. All right.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, a full boat show for you today. We are going to get some sexy football with Todd McShay. That's coming up at 3 o'clock on the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a Bears hit at 5, one word today, with Mark Grody. Unless he texts us and tells us that it needs to be two words. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
You all right, fella?
Yeah, okay.
We're going to need to get Spieg some coffee.
I have the information. I have some information.
Congratulations.
From the plaque of Jackie Robinson that I can share later in an actual segment, perhaps, about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Tanny, schedule it for 5:55.
It can be the new 6:05 tease that everybody loves to get
to. Do we have Grody just jump on with breaking news that's not actually news right in the middle when you get the reveal?
Only, I mean, that was some hallowed company I was in there during the open of guys who are scuffling around looking for information. That's right. Me and Les Grobstein, as I looked for a newer type of situation, Mike Francesa, Dombrowski, blah, 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 and Mark Grody himself with a choo, 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 choo.
As we walked out of the studio, I got a text from my mom, and she said, what was Speaks going to say about Jackie Robinson?
Tell her to be tuning in. What are we doing it today? 3:45, right?
I just sent her a picture of the plaque.
Oh, come on, man. And let me break that news. Let me fill in that blank. That's what I was trying to do at 5:55.
We're trying to play the TSL game with your mom, Lawrence.
Well, she's watching on Twitch, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, they redid the plaque, and they made it cool, and... There's a lot more things that they mentioned about his importance to not just baseball, but to the world.
Right. It wasn't on there at the beginning. Anyway, we'll get to it later in a very important segment that we're going to make sure we carve out enough time for.
I hated that. Like, at first, I was like, man, we shouldn't start this because I wanted you to wax poetic about going to Cooperstown for the first time since you were 17.
Since I was 17, it was a lovely time.
And without your dad.
That's true. He was not there. That's absolutely true.
Like, that's emotional stuff.
It was.
And you were just like, we're out of time.
Yeah, well, I, you know what? I know that we get out of here a little bit later when the Cubs play
at 6:40. Yeah.
And we've got that again tonight. We'll see if the rain holds up. They'll try to get this game in tonight. Both teams have a day off tomorrow. They can't postpone the game and play a day game tomorrow. They're not allowed to do that because tomorrow we have a rock'em sock'em big time Spiegel and Holmes football season kickoff show in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage.
Yeah, Dave Wants is going to be on the show. Olin Kreutz is going to be on the show. Troy Aikman is scheduled to call into the show. That's tomorrow, too. So we're all hoping that if there is rain, that it stops at some point tonight. It's all brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
Nice win for the Cubs last night. Threw in homer from Kyle Tucker. He leaves with the left calf tightness. He won't be in the lineup tonight. Then they have the off day tomorrow, and the hope is that he's okay. I saw this today, Lawrence. If the playoffs began tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
The MLB postseason matchups are freaking awesome.
Who you got?
Well, the worst of the four, the least compelling of the four, is the Mariners and the Astros, division rivals. And that's pretty damn compelling.
I mean, it might be compelling now because you have a pitcher versus his own catcher.
Dude, Framber Valdez, he's a bag. He's a bad, bad guy.
I had a visceral reaction to that.
I bet. As a former catcher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a catcher making his 14th career start, who after the game has your back publicly.
Privately, though, we're going to have a real conversation.
I think they did.
With hands.
So the Astros would host the Mariners. The other American League one is the Yankees hosting the Red Sox for a 3-game wild card series.
Juicy. How you might win your bet, right?
Maybe. The Yankees are on a crazy power barrage tear.
Well, that's the only way they can win. Because they can't pick up the ball and they don't quite pitch very well.
That's why I felt comfortable making the bet. And then Trent Grisham turned into a 30-homer demon. Anyway,
I was going to do a player A and player B with you today.
With Grisham?
No, with Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger.
Oh, boy.
Cody is still not... He's not far off from Kyle Tucker.
He's got more homers, right?
He has more homers, but the OPS plus is 20 points higher with Kyle. But it's striking, though.
Yeah.
Like, Cody Bellinger is having himself a nice year. But
he really
I think
is.
I'd have to look at the ballpark effects because I do think that plays a significant role in why he's having it. But I just always liked that guy and felt like a lot of people didn't, and I don't know why.
Bellinger?
Shout out to Cody Bellinger.
Here are your National League postseason matchups.
Ooh, spicy.
The Dodgers would host the Mets in the worst division winner against the worst wild card.
I think Fox would very much like to have those games.
So you've got Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers, Mets. And then you've got the Cubs hosting the Padres for a 3-game wild card set. All three games would be here in Chicago at Wrigley Field. I was talking with a friend the other day who said, you know, it's kind of a bummer when you think about it in terms of the regular season. If this were under the old format, you'd have the Cubs struggling to hold off the Padres and the hard-charging Mets for the one wild card spot. Think of the drama that would be going on right now. As it stands, the Cubs are sitting really firmly in postseason position.
Yeah, but
it doesn't have that same drama in terms of staying alive for postseason play.
Yes, but changing the backdrop for where the three games are played.
Big deal to me.
It's a big deal to me. I know that the variance in baseball will take some of that stuff away. It doesn't matter as much, but still, if you give me a choice, I'd rather sleep in my own bed. I don't want to travel and have to adjust my body clock to West Coast time for those three games. I just want to play. So, yeah, they're only a game up on the Padres right now.
And we'll see what happens with the Padres and the Dodgers. That could flip, and all of a sudden you got the Dodgers.
Correct.
So
yes, like that part of it matters. I think that we have the teams, though. Like, I think that you don't have to worry about the Reds. We were expecting them to get a bounce.
Second half, Tito, as Gordon Whitmire laid it out for us, it has not gone well for the Reds. They have one of the worst records in baseball in the second half for a lot of years, by the way.
Yeah.
Like the last 11 years or so, it's the White Sox and the Reds pretty much with the worst records in the second half.
And this year, the Rockies.
Yeah, probably. I think it is. Oh, you know, it's the Marlins. It's the Marlins who obviously will sell off and then kind of crap the bed.
And I mean, I think we had the discussion off air yesterday about the Giants. If they made a mistake, if there was some go for it that they should have gone for after the Devers deal, I saw a stat today that Devers has the most home runs in the shortest amount of time there since Bonds. Like, he's doing Bonds numbers offensively for the Giants.
He's gone out there and done his job, mm-hmm. but the Giants aren't going to make the playoffs, and the Red Sox look like they will right now.
I'm hoping that you win that bet.
That would be good fun. But like, so this Cubs thing, man, they're in solid position to host a wild card series. And even if that trails off, they'll almost assuredly still be in a wild card series. I think they're set up to kind of do what you had wanted on some level, Lawrence, which is to lose some battles every once in a while in order to be stocked up and win the war.
Now, the way that this Kyle Tucker injury goes with game off day, then day game on Friday. Friday feels like another day where you might just be like, hey, Kyle, just sit over here and let's get the Theragun going on your calf or whatever it is that they're going to do to help him feel better. I think that Craig is, I don't want to say that he's like waved a white flag, but I think that he has been strategic in, okay, let's try some things out. Let's get some guys off their feet. And that's what I'm suggesting, that a guy like Kyle Tucker, there's no reason to, if he's healthy, I want him to play. But like with this thing, there's no reason to rush him. There's no reason to be like, hey, Kyle, you got to get back out there and you got to gut your way through this with a calf injury, which we all know can snowball into other things. So just be cool and rest up. Pete, we're going to try and figure out some opportunities for you against left-handers because in the playoffs, we might have to face some left-handers. But for now, we're going to give you a mental and physical break from playing center field and dealing with left-handed pitchers. Get Carson Kelly off of his feet a little bit more. You know, like there are opportunities there. Get Dansby a couple of days off here, like between now and the end of the season.
Use Willie Castro and give everybody that off day.
That's the whole reason you got him.
The question is, will that transition to the pitching staff? And I don't know that it will for Craig, but like, does Cade Horton get a skip or does he just get, you know, carefully shortened each time, which is kind of what they do. They'll try and keep him under 80 pitches every once in a while. If he gives them 5 innings and 70-some, they'll go ahead and take him out there. You know, Matthew Boyd is a guy who hasn't thrown this many innings in a long, long time. So, yeah, they do have an opportunity this month if they wanted to just kind of, you know, relax and just try to do the right thing and be revved up and ready for the postseason. Of course, if the Brewers keep losing and that thing gets tighter, then you've got they might be tempted.
You've got some choices to make
yep.
because you're in position to be the number one seed if you're able to catch them. But that's asking a lot with only 4 weeks left in the season and you're chasing 5 games.
I was just struck
you
by the playoff.
You have the tiebreaker, though.
Yeah, you do. I was just struck by that playoff picture when I saw it this morning. I'm like, oh, my God, it'd be Dodgers, Mets, and Red Sox, Yankees, and Cubs hosting Padres. Let's go.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
September's a baseball month, and it's also a football month.
Which takes us to our next segment. We are going to talk about something that we've been discussing on this show for a minute now. The idea of how Caleb is treated from a 30,000-foot view. One of his teammates and a couple of his opponents had some thoughts on that, and we'll share them with you next here on The Score.
I got to be careful with Caleb Williams. I don't want to say he's fragile at the moment, but the guy's had a lot going on. Well, I mean, I'm going to be real with you guys. I know Ben Johnson was one of the most highly acclaimed offensive coordinators of the last 15 years? I mean, listen, he's doing these radio interviews, he's going to the podium, and I don't see a lot of positivity.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Ugh. Gas face is correct.
Dude, that guy. I mean, there's a lot of horrendous opinioneers out there. I think he might be bottom of the barrel right now. Like, on my own personal depth chart of opinionists and opinioneers, he's very, very low.
Yep. Saying that for a minute now. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
If he's number 33, Parkins is like 31.
Wow, there was no reason to do that.
It was subtweeted. It was implied the whole time. Alex, you knew that's what I meant anyway.
Let's not bring up Parkins' name in the same category as J-Mac.
Yeah, That's good. Please. That's fair. That's fair.
Like multiple tiers ahead. Anyway, that was Jason McIntyre talking about Caleb Williams. And we've been discussing the idea that there are the folks out there, especially from a national perspective, that have the knives sharpened for Caleb at any sort of misstep. I mean, I saw the question this morning of, is J.J. McCarthy going to outplay Caleb Williams? And he might. And he might. But I promise you, if he does, man, God. Tuesday morning, national shows, dude, it is going to be a problem.
Football mass media is an issue. It is an issue. But let's hear these guys talking about it, because it's interesting that the players themselves notice it, feel it, and can bond about it. One current teammate and a couple of current opponents.
Yeah, this is what Rome had to say about it on the St. Brown's Brothers podcast.
I had seen him, like, it's crazy because, like, I was a hater because I was at UW, so I was like, you know, we had
Pac-12,
so I was like, I'm not, you know, showing him no love, like, and he was out there going crazy. I was making some crazy plays. I was like, what is going on, bro? Bro was tripping out there. He, of course, when I met him and like he congratulated me after I had got drafted, we was in the back, you know, excited and celebrating. So, you know, he's a good dude. You know, he got a good heart with everything, but you know, he do be painting his nails. He do get a lot of flack for all that, you know, all that fashion he gets into outside of ball. But, you know, when it comes to football, man, you know, he always keeps it. He's solid everything. But outside of that, he's great, too, man. He one of my guys. So, nah, that's my guy.
Bro, I be on Twitter. Like, I feel like they be on his 24/7. He can't do right. Like, no matter what he does, good or bad, it's all on Twitter. Like, I swear he can't breathe. Like, there's one dude in the NFL is him. Like,
nah, for real.
He takes one step wrong. It's like, oh, Caleb did this. Like, bro, they can't just let him be. I feel bad sometimes, man.
Man, they're noticing what happens to Caleb.
They are, but I will say that the quarterback position itself is like that. I do think that there's a lot extra with Caleb, but there are other quarterbacks that get a similar, if not worse, level of scrutiny. Go look at Lamar Jackson's mentions. And this is a two-time MVP in the league. What happens when Josh Allen falls a little bit short?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. People are still out here trying to tell you that Jalen Hurts is not good.
Well, this is why football and mass media is the thing that it is, because the games are infrequent. There's all this space then to fill, and the quarterback is an opportunity to be used as a tool and a weapon for opinionistas, as someone said in the Twitch mob. I like that one. Whatever, but like to use, like, I am right, you are wrong. It just becomes a conversational weapon to be used. And it's absurd because it is so much more complicated than the success or failure of one person. And some of these same people who will say, well, you know, win stats, like win-loss records for a quarterback are a misnomer, will then use them and their success or lack thereof as conversational weapons the very next segment.
I think that there are criticisms that you can levy against Caleb Williams. And I think it's fair,
of course,
to criticize stuff that happens with him on the field. And if there are mistakes that are made by him, what I don't think is fair is not giving full context. And I get it. Oh, a show on television,
they don't have to,
is only an hour long. They're so not, it's a little bit harder to give the full context that we often have to give.
Oh, dude.
We have to go all the way back to beginning of last year and talk about all of the things that happened to get us to this point.
And frankly, when we discuss our opinions on stuff regarding the quarterback, some people will hear one thing and run with it and will be like, no, think about it in the whole context of everything that we've said about him, everything that we've learned about him, and the context that we work very hard to get. A lot of those national shows don't have to buy.
Correct. And it's awesome. The other problem, and this is like a bigger sports business issue for me, is it's often presented as just a binary. It's often presented as, if Caleb wins, is he terrible? If he loses, is he terrible? If he wins, is he the greatest of all time? Like, it's presented in a way that isn't fair to anyone. It's not fair to anyone who's going to try to argue either side of that discussion. It just, But he is a lightning rod and has been for a while. There are a lot of people in the scouting community, at least from what my interaction was with people during the draft process, there were a lot of people in that community that just, it was, I was like, that is uncomfortable. Like, how you're approaching talking to me about him as a player is uncomfortable. And a lot of that stuff I didn't even run with. I'm like, that doesn't feel good at all, what you're trying to say about him.
Well, we can check in on that with Todd McShay, who's going to be our guest next. And he can also speak to what already started to happen over the weekend, which is the conversational weaponry that the next wave of college quarterbacks was already starting to go through. Like Arch Manning and all of these dudes who played, some well, some not, getting bandied about and that conversational weaponry happening.
It is a rough business to raise and grow a quarterback. We can talk with Todd McShay about that and more next here on The Score.